Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to all my friends and listeners on the World Wide Web. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I am Don S. McClure every week. I just have to laugh because of my audience clapping. I mean, that is just totally amazing to me. I mean, I like it. I actually have an applause button. That's really cool. I mean, that's really good. It kind of acts like, I guess, Oprah or somebody coming in. But anyway, today is the 10th of February, and I won't be on for Valentine's Day, so we're going to send out some Valentine shouts to all you ladies and to the gents. I hope you get those cards for Valentine's Day. We might even play at the end of my show one of those Valentine songs to celebrate Valentine's Day. I think that's a good thing. But I want you to tune in, or thank you for tuning in. I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy this special one-hour presentation. If you want to reach me, you can call in at 818-691-7395. That number to call is 818-691-7395. And if you want to reach me by email, like most of you do, you can reach me at McClureDonS@gmail.com, or you can reach me on my IM, that sometimes it doesn't work, on Yahoo. That's McClureDonS@yahoo.com, but it's probably better to email me. We're going to send a few shouts out before we start the show. I want to send a shout out to Eileen in St. Louis, who just became a new fan and says she's going to get a copy of our book, to Carolyn in the great state of Illinois. Brand new listener, hope you got the laptop fixed up so you can hear us. And to my listeners in the Bay Area who sent me an email who's saying, when are you coming to the Bay Area for a book signing? I have no idea. I guess I'm going to be there sometime during the end of the year. That should be a good time. To all my fans in Atlanta, Michigan, Washington, and the East Coast, and to Ruth in the Round Lake, Illinois areas for buying a copy of Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs. And I want to thank her for tuning into my show, and to my friends in Milwaukee and Wisconsin and God, just everywhere. And also to my friends and family. I have to send a shout out to them. Now, you know, every week we come on and we read a few emails, and I got a couple of short emails we're going to read. One is always from my brother. I love him, my brother Ellis. I sent everybody a copy of the prologue to my new book, To Have a Friend, which is my first crime thriller. And he writes back, because, of course, he enjoys my work, but he says, are you making $98 million yet on this book? He says, this is a great book. You make more money than the president and Mitt Romney put together. I say, well, that's a good idea. I wish I did, but thank you to my brother. Then I sent one to our people in Atlanta. Alice said, wow. Your book is the makings of a bestseller, and when is it going on sale so she can get a copy? And she wants to know when you do that movie and get the movie rights. She needs a role. Well, I told her last week, I wrote her email back, and I said, you know, there was a young lady that got shot, so maybe I'll make you the young lady that got killed, but I'm just joking. But you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I want to thank you for tuning in. And as usual, this is Friday evening, and I come on every Friday from 7 to 8. So we're going to get to my show. Tonight's topic, being considered a prolific talent. I kind of like that because I'm considered prolific. And we're going to talk about the great first film producer, Oscar Michaud. And we're also going to talk about Dorothy Ashby, one of the young ladies who played a great harp. It's Black History Month. We're going to be doing Black History. I'm excited. I hope you get excited. So as I always say, get your pens and pencils ready because we're going to give you some information that we want you to write down. And we're going to go back into our show after this quick PSA, and you'll be ready to talk about writers and producers and talents that are prolific Black history. And you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show.
Hello?
Lisa, it's Janet.
What's wrong?
This is the bridesmaids' dresses for Lindsay's wedding.
Oh, no. Tell me they're not fuchsia.
Oh, they're not fuchsia.
Then what? Oh, they're gaudy, aren't they? All ruffles and lace. Great. We'll look like a chorus line.
No. They're really quite simple. It's the material I'm most concerned about.
Oh, I knew it. I specifically said no chiffon. I mean, it's so passé. I just don't think...
It's not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
What? I didn't catch that. It sounded like you said they're made out of old yellow pages.
Yep, I'm afraid you heard right. It's got something to do with recycling and good karma on her wedding day.
Oh, that's special. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Funny. Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your outdated Dex phone books. Find out just how easy we've made it in your neighborhood. Call 1-877-2-GET-DEX or log on to DexKnows.com.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. And as I always say, I mean, I love saying my name. Well, we're talking about Black history, and I am really excited about the gentleman that actually I've talked about before. Oscar Michaud has a star in Hollywood. He was one of the great producers of Black films that actually wanted to show Black people in a much more positive light. And he spent a lot of time on that. The amazing part about Oscar Michaud is I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners grew up there. And I didn't learn that this great producer was born in one of the cities in Illinois. Now, when I first started doing research on Oscar Michaud, who actually added the E to his name, so that's not the actual origination of the spelling of his name, it actually didn't have an E. Right now it has E-A-U-X, but at the end of his father's name it was A-U-X, so that was already a difference. But when I first started studying Oscar Michaud, I mean, I was really fascinated that this man was getting paid $30,000 for a film back there in the 30s. I mean, that was amazing because $30,000 was a lot of money. Well, at first they said he was born in Metropolis, Illinois. And I said, okay, that sounds good. That's Superman City. And he was born on January 2nd, which is basically correct, 1884. So I settled with that, and I was telling everybody on one of the websites he was born in Metropolis, Illinois, which was okay, which is kind of down by Paducah, Kentucky. So this year, because I was going to talk about Oscar Michaud, I did a little bit more research. Now another city that's actually 1 hour away from Metropolis, Illinois, they say he was born in Murfreesboro, Illinois, which is 1 hour and 21 minutes away from Metropolis, Illinois. So now I'm going like, okay, does anybody know where this man was really born? So I'm really going to look that up. So I think if you start researching Oscar Michaud, you're going to find there's a battle between Metropolis, Illinois, and Murfreesboro, Illinois. And my point to all this is that we grow up in cities not realizing some of the dynamic people that are connected to our state and connected to our cities. So He used to come to Chicago all the time, did a lot of great things in Chicago. And we're going to play some of the actual tapings that we recorded that people are talking about Oscar Michel. But the amazing part about Oscar Michel was he died in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, not only did he die in Charlotte of a heart attack, but all of a sudden, 1,211 miles, which is like a 19-hour drive away from Charlotte, he's buried in Great Bend, Kansas. Now, for those of you that can see my Blog Talk Radio site, you'll see a copy of the star he has, and we're talking about Great Bend. But Great Bend has basically no blacks or had no blacks in the cemetery. And one of the top attorneys said he did an article on it because he couldn't figure out why this lone black person was buried in Great Bend, Kansas. So my thinking was he would have been buried in Charlotte or he would have been buried in Illinois. But this man is buried in Great Bend, Kansas. So I was talking to one of my co-editors in Texas, and she was saying she thinks that if you look around those graves, you may find some relatives of Oscar Michel, and maybe that's why he's there. Then I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was saying that she thinks there's probably something else going on that I can check out and find out. Maybe somebody donated the land for him to be there or something like that. So that's some interesting points, but he is buried in Great Bend, Kansas. But that's Oscar Michel. I mean, he was a great person. To me, if we think back, here's a man who wants to uplift the black culture. And a lot of our young blacks today, when we do Black History Month, we do the same 18 names. We might add a few like Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey, but we're actually missing the essence of this man was around long before any of them were, and he opened the doors for him. I was listening to a tape by a gentleman named Wilmot, and I think it's Kevin Wilmot, but we're going to play that for you in a few seconds. But it was amazing that I didn't know that there was an Oscar Michel theater that burned down. And I think it was in New York. And they couldn't raise enough money from the black community, which is what we're always talking about. We've got to get better at supporting. Not that we don't support, but we got to heighten it up. We've got to do more to make sure these things last. But the theater burned down, and I guess they couldn't get enough funds to redo the theater. But anyway, we're going to go to the taping about Oscar Michel. We've got it in two parts. So we're going to play part one, and we're going to come back, and we're going to take a quick break, and after that we're going to play part two, and we're going to be discussing one of the premier black film producers who's considered prolific. We're going to talk about that. And just get people involved in telling your children, your grandchildren, your cousins, your uncles, if you're sitting around the laptop, look up Oscar Michel and actually ask yourself, did you really know he was born in Illinois? Did you really know anything? Because a lot of times we'll start with Spike Lee and some of the other producers, and we act like those are the only ones we had. And we get a chance to say they are great, but we don't go back to the people that opened the door. So let's play the Oscar Michel part one.
American in Focus. Oscar Michel was the first African-American to make a film. Made a film in 1919 called The Homesteader. I think most people think of Michel as the father of black cinema because he found a way to make films about African Americans at a time when African Americans had some of the most horrendous difficulties imaginable.
But, David, if I may call you that,
you can call me anything you like, Papa.
It's really great to see in these films black heroes, black detectives, black lawyers, black doctors, black professionals at a time when there were scarcely many black professionals. One of the amazing things about the show is that, you know, his persistence, his drive, he was able to really find a way to do it, find a crew. He had to teach himself how to write a screenplay. All of that he had to learn on his own. He would literally make these films, produce these films, and sell them probably with these films himself. It's very difficult to be an independent filmmaker. There are always new struggles and challenges you have to meet. Whenever you start to feel a little sorry for yourself, I think it's really important to remember Oscar Michel. Without Michelle, none of us would be making films right now. Michelle broke the door for us. For Oscar Michelle, I'm Kevin Wilmot for Americans in Focus.
Now, I don't know about you, but just thinking about that, I mean, when I heard that interview, I was thinking, like, as the man said, when you start to feel sorry for yourself or you're saying, you know, maybe I can't make it or can't do some things, here's a man that didn't go to film school. He didn't study at the best universities, but he was able to become one of the top film producers in the United States. And he's known all over the world. And like I said, when we talk about stars and the red carpeting, there's a star for Oscar Michelle. So I'm listening to these tapes and I'm wondering, because I'm definitely want to become one of the best writers in the world as far as books are concerned. And I'm amazed that the word prolific kind of identifies that. But these are the people that when they ask me, who do I study? Who do I think I want to be like? Not so much to imitate them, but a lot of times to find somebody that has that same drive and zeal that I'm searching for, that I have inside of me, to bring out. I think Oscar Michelle deserves to be talked about a lot more than the way that we've been doing it. When we think of theater, we talk about the Apollo. And maybe we should raise enough funds to reopen the Oscar Michelle Theater. But I think that when we talk about blacks, if you listen to Kevin Wilmot, Oscar Michelle was showing black lawyers in his films, black doctors, black professionals. Now, this is back in 1919. So when we get on these podiums and we say terrible things about blacks can't read, and all of a sudden we're able to do things now that we weren't able to do before, we actually are not telling the whole world the truth, because there were black people back in the day that actually stood up for us. So, like, I talk a lot about Maggie Walker, the first female bank president in the United States, that gave a great speech in 1904 on August the 2nd. It's amazing to me how we don't know those speeches, so we keep saying Malcolm's speech and Martin's speech and everybody else's speeches, but we aren't looking back. And black history is so massive, it would take years to produce all the black plays and movies. But maybe there should have been a play about Oscar Michelle. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and of course I am Donis McClure, and the time is flying by as usual. And we're going to take a quick PSA. We'll be right back. But we're going to talk more about Oscar Michelle, the first black film producer in the United States, born in Illinois. We're not sure which city, but he's buried in Great Bend, Kansas. And that's something I'm going to do some research on to find out why this great black man is buried in Kansas. I always thought about Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, but I didn't think about Oscar Michelle. But we'll be right back.
With video games, I'm often choosing between what my kids want and what I think is best for them.
Hey, Mom, how about this one?
Rated T for teen with violence and suggestive themes. Let me check the rating summary. Frenetic combat, cries of pain, female warlords exposed cleavage.
Maybe the other one's better.
The rating summaries are free. Use them, and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to ESRB.org.
Siempre me fijo en las clasificaciones y en la descripción del contenido en las cajas de videojuegos. Pero como a veces quiero más detalles, me encantan estos nuevos resúmenes, pues me dan una descripción más a fondo que me ayuda a decidir si los juegos son apropiados para mis hijos o no. Los resúmenes son gratis y los puedo leer en mi smartphone o en línea.
Para más información sobre clasificaciones de videojuegos y resúmenes, visite esrb.org.
And we're back, and yes, that was a Spanish PSA because I have a large Spanish listening audience. Matter of fact, I'm trying to learn Spanish. Unos, dos, tres. I got a little bit of it, but not a lot. I'm still working on that. And actually, when I went to school, I should have took it even more so. But anyway, we're talking tonight about Oscar Michelle. Then we're going to get into Dorothy Ashby. But for right now, we're talking about Oscar Michelle, one of the first black film producers. So I hope all of you have your pens and pencils and writing this man's name down, so that during Black History Month, you can say more than just one or two names. And I want to challenge you to ask you, your friends, your cousins, your aunties, name me 6 African presidents today, and then turn around and name me some of the great black composers outside of Duke Ellington, and just challenge your mind. Just do that as one of those what I call moments. But anyway, you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and this is part 2 of the Oscar Michelle story. And now we're talking about the Oscar Michelle Theater.
Oscar Michelle is a very well-known black filmmaker that was born, I believe, in 1884 and did most of his works during the early 20s and 30s. From what I understand, he had over 30 films to his credit, and that his films were primarily based on upgrading the aspects of the black man in films. The theater that was located in Buffalo at the corner of Kensington and Bailey was named after him, the Oscar Michelle Theater. It was a former movie theater complex, which organizations named Sonship Communications took over and was able to get funding to renovate the building and turn it into an art center. The concept there was to have a performing and visual arts complex within the community in order to do, you know, cultural things from our aspect. April of 79, it opened up, and we started with a film series, black films, Raisin in the Sun, a number of black films, along with a children's program that they ran on the weekends so that the kids can come to get some cultural exposure in their age group. The theater was also going to be a performing arts center in terms of rentals, to have the community have an opportunity to bring shows, to live shows, within the community as well as the film. I had been involved in the arts community for a long time. I had a degree from Damon College in theater arts, performing arts. While I was at the college, I worked with the Theater of Youth Company. I was one of the founding members. I came to the Oscar Michelle Theater after having spent some time at the Chase Buffalo. I was part of the original group that helped to save the old Chase. When I came to the Oscar Michelle Theater, it was an opportunity for me to really work within the community. It was something new that was being started again by Sonship Communications, and I felt at that time that this was a good avenue and venue to build something of quality within the black community. We had a nice mix between the films and the performing arts, as well as lecture series. The theater was associated largely with the University of Buffalo at that time, so we had Professor Jim Pappas, who appeared at various times to do lecture series. Well, the most fun time was the weekends when the kids would come in. I mean, their eyes would light up when they felt that, you know, we had special programming just for them. Matter of fact, we did have a live show at one time. We brought in a local artist from Lockport, Kenny Bird, that's what it was, Kenny Bird and friends, had the puppet act that performed a live show for the children, and they were very excited about it. The National Endowment for the Arts and the New York State Council on the Arts were the main sources of funding for the Oscar Michelle. Now, we always understand that this is a hard thing within the community, to get the community to actually go into their pockets and both donate as well as participate. That's always been a struggle, to get people to come out to see performances. But we felt at the time that we had such a jewel there in the community that we were going to get that support. In the beginning, it was very, very sparse, but things were beginning to turn around until, unfortunately, our program there was cut short due to a tragedy.
What was the tragedy?
The tragedy was we were in a complex that was on the corner of Bailey and Kensington, and there was a fast food restaurant that was also housed in that complex. And I believe they had an explosion in their kitchen, which resulted in a grease fire of some type, and the complex caught on fire. And because of the fire, the structure was no longer sound, and therefore they had to demolish everything that was on that block. So consequently, Oscar Michaud was demolished after a short run. I think for the first time there was an opportunity for a community to produce something of high quality and standard from within. And that's not to say that what we have existing now at the African Center, which has been there for quite some time, isn't of that same caliber. But this was going to take us into a more diverse aspect in terms of what the community could produce and sustain with support from the arts community, as well as the funding community, as well as the participants in the Black community.
And we're back. And of course, like I said, it's Friday night, and you just heard the information on the Oscar Michaud Theater. Now, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing my research, I had to think back. The theater was there to enhance the exposure and learning ability of a community that basically really could not afford to have a lot of the great acts or artists or theater presentations. And I remember once I talked about a friend of mine that lived in Chicago. He had a club on 123rd Street. And again, it's in my 30s. I'm crying about being 30. And he's already hired me to be a producer to bring in a small musical dance routine into the Black community where they don't have a lot of theaters. And so he's paying the talent the standard rate. And I get a chance to produce this really, really nice short dance musical called Dance of the Dolls. So I'm thinking back, and as I was sitting in the club, like I said, I'm whining about turning 30-something, and he's like, what are you crying about? You got a chance to produce something. You've worked with people in Paris. You've done other things. And you got a chance to do some things for the community and make it better. And I remember producing a outdoor fashion show in that same community. Another Black guy came to me and said, hey, our community needs you. Well, I think the young lady was saying that community needed the Oscar Michaud Theater. And the more we expose young children early to more than just rap music, getting them involved in classical music, and understanding that our music heritage goes back eons, so that they can realize they're only carrying on the dreams of what some great people have done. We're 31 minutes into the show. I'm telling you, it flies by. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show. If you'd like to call in, like some of you do, call me at 818-691-7395. That number to call is 818-691-7395. Or you can email me at McClureDonS@gmail.com, and I will respond, and I'll probably read your email next week on my show. But tonight we're talking about Black history, being prolific, and also some of the great talents that have brought us today to where we are in music and art. And I think Black history goes a lot further than what we give credit to. So we got to start pushing a lot more, but I'm just totally fascinated, and I am going to look up why Oscar Michaud is buried in Great Bend, Kansas. I mean, I've really got to know that one. So that's going to be my next to-do list. I'm always on the computer, and everybody says, why do you spend so much time on the computer? Because I'm always trying to find more information. And it really helps me. It really does. We'll be right back with more of the Donna's McClure Show, and we're going to talk a little bit about Dorothy Ashby.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
You may be hearing about people having trouble making mortgage payments and risking losing their homes. Many of them just aren't aware of the options that can prevent foreclosure. There are many options available to homeowners, such as repayment and forbearance plans, loan modifications, and even refinancing. Where does someone go for help? They should talk directly with their lender or a qualified HUD-approved counseling agency. Both can provide helpful information without charging a fee. According to PMI Mortgage Insurance Company, it's not a good idea to pay for services that you can get for free from a lender or a qualified nonprofit counseling agency. To learn more, visit HomeSafePMI.com or call HUD at 1-800-569-4287 for a counseling agency near you. That's 1-800-569-4287. This message is brought to you by PMI, supporting sustainable home ownership that strengthens communities.
And we're back, and I was talking to one of my researchers, and I didn't know the microphone, and she was bringing up some great information about Oscar Michelle, so we're going to go back over that. I just think that, like I said, Black history is so important. And February is a good month to celebrate it because we get all month long. But also we've got to study Black history all year long because those are the most important things that we can do. And so that we can teach our young people about people like Oscar Michelle. Now, earlier I was mentioning to you that there was a young lady that my brother used to play. And, of course, yes, I used to be up under them, older brothers, and they would play all this fantastic music. Well, they had this young lady that they used to play called Dorothy Ashby. So I looked her up, and I liked the way that she played a harp. Matter of fact, I still am trying to find some of the actual original music that she had. But when I started looking up Dorothy Ashby, I mean, this young woman was phenomenal. She was born August 6, 1932, and she died of cancer in California, actually Santa Monica, at the age of 53. But she died April 13, 1986. But this woman was considered such a great jazz harpist. And I mean, she was just phenomenal. And I wanted to know, because her original name is Dorothy Jean Thompson. So, of course, me being a little investigator, she's born in Detroit, Michigan, so I know the Michigan people are proud of her. But she changed her last name to Ashby because she got married. And they had an actual band. So Dorothy and her husband went on the road, supported the group, and they did a lot of great things. She was just phenomenal. She played with a lot of great people. This young woman took off like nobody's business. She demonstrated her talent on another instrument called the Japanese koto, and she successfully integrating the way she played these instruments into jazz. So she was really big at the time they were doing sound scores, and in 1970 she did an album, The Rubaiyat. I mean, just a fantastic person. We're going to play a little bit of her music. But her name is Dorothy Jean Thompson. She changed the name to Dorothy Ashby, and she grew up in Detroit. Now, her father was a guitarist, and his name was Willie Thompson. So he used to bring musicians home, and I guess that's where Dorothy, as a young girl, started really thinking about being involved in music. And so she really wanted to get around and do some things. And the people she played with, I mean, jazz artists like Kitty Burrell. I know a lot of you are really young. You don't know who that is, but Donald Byrd, she played with him, Gerald Wilson. I mean, she did a lot of things. She played a number of instruments, as a matter of fact. Not only did she play the harp, but she played the saxophone and the string bass. This is a young woman that really took music to a whole new height. And, of course, she attended Wayne State University in Detroit. So I think there's a lot more to Black history, and especially with Dorothy Ashby, we're talking about the arts. So if you don't know her name, you need to look it up. Dorothy Ashby, Detroit, Michigan, phenomenal, phenomenal artist. We're going to see if we can get one of her songs to play on my studio board. And today I'm operating the board, so I need to make sure I get everything in that I want to hear and play. And sometimes I'll be messing around, having some fun inside the theater. But we're going to play Dorothy Ashby. It's one of the great songs that she recorded back in the day. Was Dorothy Ashby, and again, celebrating Black History Month. I think she's phenomenal. One of the things I was reading about Dorothy, which I really did like, she actually had in the 1960s, she had her own radio show in Detroit. She was actually married till the day that she passed. And her husband, John Ashby, played the drums while they toured the country recording albums with seven different record labels. Now, you know, we always talk about black marriages don't work and this and that. And I was just thinking about Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson, or now Dorothy and John Ashby. So if we take even the positive sides about relationships, I mean, they formed a band because usually you hear business and relationships don't work. And that's not true. I think that it depends on the individuals. But when you look at that, how solid these two were. They even played with people like Louis Armstrong and Woody Herman. I mean, it goes a long way. But when you think about the things that Dorothy Ashby is known for, to me, she deserves a high-ranking place in Black history. And maybe outside of the singers that we do movies about and things like that, maybe we could do a story on Dorothy Ashby. I'm always saying that we got to go back to the people that brought us to where we are and constantly do some of the current things so that we can get a complete balance. I think that's one of the problems in the Black community. We don't have a lot of balance. So we either go to the left, we either downtrodden, or we go to the right and we try to act like we've never been downtrodden. And I think we need to live in that, what I call the happy medium. I mean, to me, I was looking at, and of course, everybody knows I'm working on my new book, To Have a Friend, and I'm doing some research on the organized crime figures. And I'm thinking about one of the singers that I created in the play. And as I'm looking through my research, I go to a movie called Murder Incorporated, because that's part of the genre in my movie. And I find out that Sarah Vaughan, the great Sarah Vaughan, did her first film debut in this 1960 film called Murder Incorporated. She's the singer at the club. And I'm like, man, I didn't know that until I saw the clip. So now I'm going to have to go back and do some more research on that. But it just goes to show you that music and plays and art can really enhance our growing ability. So rather than always saying, I don't have any place to go, I don't have anything to do, I haven't gone anywhere, I know in Asia they go to a lot of jazz clubs. Maybe go out one night and listen to some jazz, or go back and study some of the older music and bring it up to date. So that way you can enjoy it. I mean, I'm always listening to radio stations like Pandora, and they play a lot of great things. I learn a lot because they show you the autobiographies of the different people that their music that they're playing. So that's just some food for thought. But Dorothy Ashby, I mean, again, a great artist, an artist that we really need to learn more about. And if we have some of her albums or playing some of her music, introduce it to some people on a Sunday evening while you're sitting around eating whatever it is you eat, Chinese food, pizza, or whatever it is. I don't know. I kind of like Taiwanese food, I guess. And like I said, I didn't know my mic was on earlier, and I was talking to one of the researchers, and she's really good at research. She was telling me some things about Oscar Michaud. But knowledge is power, and we really can uplift our people even more. When we support, we get involved, and we learn more. And I want you to go to my website, www.dsmpublications.net. Make sure you get a copy of my new book, Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs. And also, you can order The Gods. That's my newest book that's already actually going to the printers next week. So that's going to be a good thing. We got 16 more minutes into the show, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only, and I love saying my name, Don S. McClure. I think my mother and father gave me a great name when they gave me that. But tonight, we're talking about Black history and being prolific and what that means to a writer. I think it's great. I found some grants for new writers that I'm going to be looking at and just trying to get some people to do some great things. We'll be right back after this quick PSA, and we'll talk about being prolific. I like the sound of that.
Do you see that doggy in the shelter?
Hi, I'm Buddy, the adorable puppy you adopted from the Humane Society.
Meow. I'm Whiskers, a fluffy kitty, just waiting for someone to love me.
When you adopt a pet, we hope your new furry friend will become a cherished member of your family. And as Buddy and Whiskers will tell you, the key to success is following the rules to love by.
Woof, that's right. Please give me food, water, and exercise every day. To stay healthy, I need the same kind of things you need.
Talk to me. I like hearing your voice.
You're my best friend. Please don't stay mad at me or lock me up as punishment. Remember, I'm probably going to live 10 to 15 years, so take care of me when I get old.
One day you'll need someone to take care of you, too.
A message from the Montgomery County Humane Society. Visit www.mchumane.org for the complete rules to love by.
You'll be your best friend for life.
And we're back. back, and every time I play that PSA, I get all cheery and warm inside, and I be woof, woof. I like that part when they say that on the little PSA. I know it's not part of the show, but I kind of like those PSAs that I play. I get a lot out of them, and if you have a pet, make sure you take care of your pet. Don't just feed them water and give them some dog food. I mean, take care of them because they're going to live, I guess, 10, 15 years. So you could say woof, woof while you're riding in your car. I don't know. Anyway, we're talking about being prolific. And I went to look up this word in two dictionaries and actually online. I already knew what it meant, but I wanted to be sure because I'm considered a great prolific writer. And every time I get a term, I go like, okay, sounds good. So when I looked it up in one online dictionary, it said a prolific author who could produce several works of fiction and nonfiction in a year. And don't forget, I'm working on trying to come up with 8 books. So, and some are fiction, and my autobiography is nonfiction. So I guess I fit into that category. And how I decided to become a prolific writer, I really became fascinated with the work of Alexander Dumas, the man who wrote The Three Musketeers and The Man in the Iron Mask and The Count of Monte Cristo, which somebody took and made cigars out of and made a deal with him. But I kind of liked that word when I first heard it, being prolific. Now, when I looked at another dictionary, it said in large quantities or with great frequency, highly productive, a prolific writer. I think I'm pretty highly productive, at least I hope I am. And I was talking to a friend of mine online, and she was saying, okay. I said, I guess I got some talent. She said, stop. Just stop, please. You got talent. And I said, yeah, I guess I am prolific. But I want to use that word because they considered Oscar Michaud to be a prolific producer. Alexander Dumas was considered a prolific writer. Dorothy Ashby was considered a prolific musician and composer. So I'm saying that so that we can encourage young people to get to working on whatever it is they want to do and kind of be prolific at it. You know, each week we try to add a word that we want you to use. So now encourage them to be prolific, which will get them more involved in what they do. Because a lot of times I run into people and they'll say, I'm working on a book, I've been waiting a long time, and they ask me how long did it take me to write my first book. And I say 6 months for my first book, actually 4 months. It took my new editor 2 months to edit it. She could have did a better job, but it was 2 months. And after that, my second book took 4 months, and I'm constantly on the roll of writing. And I admire writers like Grisham or Patterson, and these are the guys that are prolific. Every time you turn around, they got something new coming out. The young lady that writes the Harry Potter book, she's prolific. So again, the more you get people to work on it, even if it doesn't sell right away, just keep working on your collection. We've got to get them to have collections of books. I mean, writing one book is good, but you need more than that. And also, I want to turn Romantic Images, Where My Heart Belongs, I want to turn that into a play. So I'm working on that, and I did find a young lady who looks just like two of the characters in my book, and I was just amazed at that. So I asked her, would she be in a play that I want to do in Florida to honor my brother who passed, who was a veteran, and he lived in Florida. Matter of fact, I just talked to his wife, and she's doing real well. But the thing is, being prolific, that means you'll get your young people to stay real active and doing more than just sitting around watching TV or on the cell phone or playing on Facebook. So kind of use that word. Say, hey, are you being prolific with what it is you do? Which means turning product after product after product. Turn them out as fast as you can. We got 11 more minutes into the show. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I am the one and only Don S. McClure, the baby son of my family. Ooh, that sounds so cutie booty. Or I'm always saying sweetie beady. I don't know where I get those terms from. We've got 10 more minutes into the show. And, again, if you want to email me so I can read your emails next week, send it to McClure, Don S, at gmail.com. One of the things about Black history that I really admire, and a lot of people know that I did start Black History Awards Day to heighten the level of appreciation for Black history. I was thinking about doing the play of the first black man that got shot during the revolution for the United States. And people say, get out of here. I said, no, Crispus Attucks. And when I did my research, I actually found out how many bullets he had been shot by and all the other people around him that had been shot that same day. And they actually had a trial. So my mind is saying, wouldn't that be unique for young students studying history to do the reenactment of the day that Crispus Attucks got shot in Boston, what road he was on, and what the trial was like. Now, I'm thinking back, and I think it was one of the presidents that actually became, well, actually was an attorney before he became president, and he handled that case. But I think two British officers were actually on trial for the shooting of Crispus Attucks, and that's what I was going to call it, the shooting of Crispus Attucks. I think that would be a great play, and not so much because he got shot, but just to bring out the level of the incident, like the movie that I watched the other day, the Oxbow incident. I mean, that's a great movie because I teach diversity training, or I used to do it before the economy got bad. But I did diversity marketing, and I would use different films. The Oxbow was really good. But the more you learn and study and the more you see out there, the more you help young people start to decide on maybe becoming great film producers or going to Hollywood and doing more than just what's out there. I mean, it's good that we got the Tyler Perrys and the Oprah Winfreys, but we need so many more. And it doesn't mean they're always going to make it to the top, but it does mean we'll have more information, because that's what writing and plays and music does for us. It shares our wisdom. It shares our plights. It shares our stories. A lot of times you'll hear me talk about, on my website, St. George, the 18th century composer that influenced all of France. And everybody across the world knows who he is, and I was just amazed when I first started promoting his music. But a lot of people never heard of him. So, again, if you can, go to my website and order that DVD or order his music from me. I sell his music, as a matter of fact. And the company that I get it from is in Franklin, Tennessee. I didn't know that till I started promoting the music. So there's a lot out there that we can do, more than just having. I'm not against the family reunions and the getting together, but I think we need even bigger than that, more. We need to add to that. Because the stories that grandpa and grandma could tell us, and even the uncles and cousins, I mean, we need to look at that. When you start to check your family, you'll find out that there may be some people in there that have done some great things currently that you're just not really telling people about. And I'm always amazed when somebody says, oh, yeah, my cousin owns a newspaper, or, oh, yeah, my I was talking to one of my, like I said, she's my best friend. She's in Texas. I didn't know that her cousin is Forrest Whitaker. And we were on the line talking one night, and I was saying, yeah, we were talking about films, because we used to share a lot of films on the phone together. Now, you know, I know people find that crazy, but she'd be on one end, I'd be on the other, and I'd be looking at the film, telling her what's going on. She'd say, well, what happened now? And she would tell me which films were out. And I mean, we're great friends. I talk to her all the time. But I was so amazed when I told her that there was this actor that I liked. And she said, well, who is it? I said, he was in a movie with Rosie Perez. His name is Forrest Whitaker. And she said, that's my cousin. I went, get out of here. So I told her next time they have a family reunion, to invite me so I could meet Forrest. I think he's a great person. But it just goes to show you, you never know who's connected. I did one of my radio shows with one of the relatives of one of the Tuskegee Airmen. I mean, you know, it's out there for us to learn and talk about. I have a niece that's a publisher. She's doing really well at publishing. It's a lot out there. And I always talk about the fantastic lady in Milwaukee, Valerie Daniels Carter. And last I checked, a few years ago, she owned 137 Burger Kings. And she started them all in depressed areas. She's a member of the Kojic Church. Great black woman. I mean, so to own that many, we need to get outside of just saying Oprah. So next time we do a black history calendar or a black history play, stop just doing the same names over and over again, because you're not helping the young people grow. And you're not doing justice to your own history. You can include them. But I just saw a calendar in Walgreens, and it had, I mean, some of the normal people today, which is good, which is okay. But it's almost like, okay, you know, you can't find a lot of the other people or do more than one calendar. As a matter of fact, next year, I'm going back to producing my other calendar, the 28 Days of February Project. But But you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and we got 5 more minutes. This hour has gone by. And lately, in the last couple of weeks, they've been really moving by. I mean, to me, that's just amazing. So, definitely, actually, we got 4 more minutes because I definitely have to play one of my going out songs. And I hate it when my interior producer comes on the line and says, you have 60 seconds. You have 90 seconds. Then sometimes you just say, get off the air. And actually, it's a joke. It's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. She doesn't say that. But I just think that, like I said, the more you learn, the more you grow, the more you do. My favorite saying is, there's a book inside of everyone waiting to be written. You just got to get to it. So tonight you're listening to the Donis McClure Show on a Friday. And, of course, you know that by now I am Donis McClure.
Hi, I'm Jet Williams. Even though I never knew my father, Hank Williams, his legacy taught me the meaning of lending a helping hand. That's why I support the Orphan Foundation of America. OFA is committed to providing education, mentoring, and a workplace readiness for thousands of teens aging out of the foster care system. With the help of OFA's support programs, these young people can go to college and trade school, graduate, and make the leap from foster care to success. To learn how you can help, visit orphan.org.
Hey, we're back. We got 3 more minutes, and I definitely had to play that because I want you to definitely help the orphans. You know, and I was amazed the other day. I was reading an article on a woman who's 25 years younger than her husband. He's 72, and they've been married 25 years, and they just adopted a child on Christmas. And I'm reading this like, okay, he's 72, and I subtract 25. And at first you hear that and you think like, okay, she's younger, he's older, but they've actually been together 25 years, and they just adopted a newborn. And they said it's the greatest thing since apple pie. So I don't know if I want to do the diaper thing all over again, but you got to take your hat off to him. I mean, he's 72, and he says he's ready, and he's looking forward to taking him to school and doing all the things that dads do. So I guess that is amazing. And so 72 and 25 years younger. And they seemed to be very happy when I saw them in the picture. I was like, okay, and they had the baby on their lap. It wasn't their grandchild. It was their baby. So that's like one of those moments. But we got 1 more minute to the show. You know, I'm getting ready to close so I can possibly eat some more rice. I had some rice for lunch, and it was really delicious. And, you know, I'm always eating. I'm surprised I don't weigh 300 pounds by now. But we talked about some great people tonight. Oscar Michaud and Dorothy Ashby, and I hope you wrote those names down. I'm going to say goodbye as usual, and you know what I always say before I leave my show. I always say, but first I'm going to say happy Valentine's Day to all the ladies out there and all my fans and all my nieces and cousins and all you beautiful women out there, happy Valentine's Day. Now I'm going to say my favorite saying before I leave, enjoy life because that's all you have. And, yes, I'm going to end the show by playing a great song called My Funny Valentine. And you have a good one. And I will see you next Friday at the bubble. He just told me 90 seconds. See you later.
My funny Valentine. Call me Valentine. You make me smile with your heart. Your lips are laughable. Photographable, yet you're my favorite.